From the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Morning Drive with Nick Kale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Josh Upton in for the Constable Chase McCabe here on a Monday. The big finish coming up at 9:45. We'll get back to Game 6 coming up tonight. Also, a little bit more on the NFL draft. But I do want to start the final hour with the NHL, but with Blake Wheeler from the Winnipeg Jets, the now dispatched Winnipeg Jets, who bowed out to the St. Louis Blues in the Western Conference first round.
Yeah, no issues there for the rookie goaltender, Binghamton.
None.
Strong performance from Jordan.
Indeed. Let's take a listen. Here's Blake Wheeler, approached by the media following the exit of the Winnipeg Jets. And take a listen to the way Blake Wheeler responds. I believe we have the question still included with this. So here's the Q&A. I'm assuming Winnipeg Jet reporter Joe Schmo and Blake Wheeler.
In the elimination game, you guys probably expected your best, right? What happened?
God, please come on, man. I mean, like, you know, this is a tough trophy to win. And, you know, maybe our best just wasn't good enough today, you know, and their best was pretty darn good. You know, in situations like that, you look for the resolve in your group. You look for how guys fight, and we played to the last whistle.
So that was the Q&A, and I don't think that question was out of line whatsoever, and Blake Wheeler just says bleep off.
No, hockey player, very sensitive about effort.
Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive about effort, and rightly so. I think a team that is dubbed to not play at its fullest potential and fullest effort is that's a team that probably has to look in the mirror.
I think there's a difference in saying, well, you guys didn't play your best, which
mm-hmm.
clearly if you lose in six games, you didn't play your best.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was questioning the actual effort as far as giving 100% and having enough heart or anything
right,
like that.
But even Hal takes it that. Like, we have Hal on the show, and Hal, even when I ask about,
right.
you know, what do the Predators need to do different? Do they need to come back and work harder? I'm not implying that they didn't give effort. I'm just saying.
To me, there's a major difference in hockey between effort and execution.
Yeah.
And I think people don't get that.
No, I agree. I think hockey – we can listen to the question again if we've got it, Josh, because I'm fascinated by the reaction there, because it's not appropriate to look at a reporter and cuss him out. Like, it's not a professional response. But let's hear the question again.
In the elimination game, you guys probably expected your best, right? What happened?
He just said you guys probably expected your best.
I have no problem with the question at all.
What's wrong with that question?
Yeah,
and you didn't get your best when you are in a elimination game. You expect to go out there and give it your best. You expect to go out there and play probably the best game you've played, because it's a elimination game. And if it doesn't happen, then those that are watching with a different eye that have watched you all season, they have a right to say, you know, you expected to give your best. What happened?
And it's
not a bad question.
Right, it's just, listen,
I can understand you're upset that you lost.
Right.
So
I would, you know, as a person who asks a question, I think you can ask that question in a better way. But there's nothing wrong with the question. You didn't get you were expecting your best tonight, and that didn't happen. Why? And you know, you get told to bleep off. Like, I don't, you know, I don't.
So if the Predators, lose tonight in Dallas,
yeah,
and they get questioned, well.
It'll be Vingan.
Did you guys have your best effort tonight?
It's not out of line.
No, right. I don't think it's out of line. I don't think any one of the Nashville Predators would approach it like that, you know, that player did. I think, you know, they will try to, you know, keep it all team, us, you know, I need to play better, or we need to play better. Because it's a legitimate question. Like, you know, it's a game six elimination game. You expect this team, Nashville Predators, to come out and play probably their best game of the season to not get eliminated. And if it doesn't happen, if you see some of the same things that you've seen in games prior, then you are able as a reporter to question, you know, why didn't you?
That's what I want
to know. What happened? Why didn't you guys play your best game? Yeah. Why didn't it look as if, you know, the game was different than maybe any other game?
I think you could ask the question in a more interesting way, just because I hold broadcasters to a high standard. I think we should ask questions better. I think our job, our entire industry asks terrible questions, mm-hmm. especially TV guy. TV guy asks terrible questions. I think we as a, as an industry can ask better questions, but I don't have a problem with that one. Here's what I would do if I'm Lavi, though. I'm playing that cut on a loop. Is this mm-hmm. how you guys want to feel tonight? You want to be asked that question tonight? You want to be doing that interview tonight? Go get a W. Well, I, like, if I'm Lavi, I'm taking that cut and I'm putting it on a loop on the bus and saying, this is what you're going to have to go through tonight. Look what Blake Wheeler's dealing with. That's how you're going to feel if you don't go out there and get a win.
Let's actually get to the head coach, because we've seen Dallas make some adjustments. We've seen Dallas have a little bit of success on the power play. I feel like we've spent a lot of time, and rightfully so, talking about the players that have underachieved in this series. Let's evaluate Peter Laviolette at this point. Is there anything he can do? Is there anything that stands out as a glaring weakness? Where are we at with the head coach? Because you know if they lose in six, there will be a portion of Fred's Twitter with the narrative of, oh, he's reached his expiration.
Yeah,
you know that's coming.
Yeah, I know. And what's interesting is five years, five trips to the playoffs. Here's the problem, though. If they were to lose tonight, you'd have two division titles and one playoff series win.
The best three-year stretch in franchise history?
Yeah. Now, again, you built up a ton of goodwill with that two-round, seven-game run against the Ducks and the Sharks 3 years ago. You built up a ton of equity with a run to the playoffs, so I don't think there's any danger or any conversation about Peter Laviolette's job. I think that's ridiculous. But is it fair to ask for some changes, to ask to reevaluate, to shake things up? Phil Housley is available. Make a phone call. If you were to lose tonight, again, you have two division titles and one playoff series win.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, there's something wrong with that when you are a division champion and you've won one playoff series in 2 years, twice. So you're going to have to do some self-reflection. And at the end of the day, all sports eventually falls around the neck of the head coach. At some point, all sports does, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, pro, college, high school. It eventually falls to the coach. So he's going to have to make some decisions. David Poyle's going to be a part of that as well, should they lose tonight. There'll have to be a lot of self-reflection. I mean, it's a really hard trophy to win. There's no excuse for that. But at the end of the day, you can't lose. You can't go 1-3 in your last four playoff series and be considered one of the best teams in the league. So,
if, in fact, this is the final game of the season, do you think this is it for David Poyle? Could you envision a scenario where he says, you know what, I've done all I can. I'm going to.
That seems.
I don't think you would.
We've discussed it on this show. Like,
you're talking about him retiring, right? Because they're certainly not going to.
I don't think he would. Yeah. Right. I don't think he would go. I don't think he would want to walk away under this circumstance.
I would agree with that.
But if I'm Poyle and I'm just hypothetically in his shoes, mm-hmm. I mean, I did what they wanted me to do last summer, where I laid low. I listened to my players. I let the players say, keep this intact. Then this year, I quickly realized I needed to make trades. I made a handful of them before the deadline. Like, what else? And what was the one thing I said before the playoffs started? That the players owe David Poyle for what he's done. If I'm Poyle, what else can I do?
I don't think there's more you can do. Poyle is going to all of a sudden abandon ship and say, you know what? Yeah. I've done what I can do. I'm going to walk away. I think if he does walk away, it will be under a different scenario. I think he still has an opportunity. Because it's not like this team, if they don't advance this year in the playoffs, like all of a sudden this team just going to fall off the map. This, again, will be a 100-point win team again next year. They will be, you know, battling to win a division next year, I believe, because a lot of these guys are coming back. So under no circumstance, I can see this team like going from first in the division to fourth. So with that being the case, I can't see Poyle then walking away. Maybe next year or the year after that, but not after this season, the way it's unfolding, if they indeed lose.
They have too much in place to be good that, like, he still just is – as long as he continues to tinker. Like, this team, again, lost in all of this is going to be back-to-back division championships, right? You are the best team in your division 2 years in a row. That's quite an accomplishment in the regular season. So he's built a pretty good team. There's something missing, whatever it may be, whether it's an assistant coach, whether it's a power play, whether it's one player here, one player there. I still think he thinks that he can win the whole thing, and he's close enough to doing it, and he's built a really good nucleus of players that are the most talented we've ever seen in Predators history. So there's no reason to go. If I'm him, I'm sitting there, I'm even more motivated if I'm him. I don't think it's the other way around. Knowing David Poyle, it's not like him to sort of like back away from it all. And no, he's going to solve problems.
David Poyle will be 70 in February. I just pulled up his Wikipedia page because I wanted to see how old he is. You got to see the picture of David Poyle on his Wikipedia page. killer mustache back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's still young.
Josh, man. How do you feel about that? Let's mustache on mustache evaluation.
Game recognized game. It looks good.
He kind of looks like, in this picture, like a younger Alex Trebek, to be honest.
Mm.
It's good work out of Poyle. This picture has to be from like the 70s.
You're one of those.
I'm
going to
tweet out the picture of David Poyle with a mustache. We need some good vibes here on a Monday. Got to get this thing going. It's not all doom and gloom. This team's still alive. They're only small underdog tonight.
Listen, if Martin Jones can save 58 shots on the road facing elimination, then the Preds can go into Dallas and win tonight.
All right, your Preds call, 615-737-1025. We're moving past Game 5, looking ahead to Game 6 tonight. Puck drop at 7:30 here on 102.5 The Game. The pregame at 6:30. What is your expectation for tonight? Predators win? Predators lose a tight one? Predators get boat raced? What do you think? 615-737-1025. We're back after this here on Morning Drive.
It's game day in Smashville.
Backhanded, now from behind the net, and now Johansson scores!
The Preds face a do-or-die Game 6 as they visit the Dallas Stars.
This place is going to be lit.
You know that it's going to be a war this series.
Two teams defensively that's really good.
That's what this series is going to come down to, I think.
Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7:30 on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Every morning, the McDonald's kitchen is a symphony. A sizzling, toasty McMuffin symphony. Cue the eggs. While other grab-and-go breakfast sandwiches are kind of one note. It's time to wake up breakfast. Wake up your breakfast with a fresh cracked egg on every McMuffin sandwich every day at McDonald's.
The Hearth and Grill Shop and the Sullivan family are celebrating their 45th anniversary.
With a special on all Broilmaster grills in stock and a savings of 45% off.
Broilmaster grills are known for their durability and offer so many cooking options.
And at 45% off, free assembly and free local delivery on all propane models.
What better way to kick off the grilling season? The Hearth and Grill Shop.
Your grill and fireplace superstore.
535 West Thompson Lane or hearthandgrill.com.
Here's something you probably don't know about erectile dysfunction. 52% of guys over 40 experience ED. And here's something you probably do know about erectile dysfunction. 0% of guys like talking about it. Fortunately, Roman is here to help. With Roman, you can go online and visit a one-stop shop where U.S. licensed physicians can diagnose ED. We'll then ship medication right from our pharmacy to your door. With Roman, you don't have to spend time in waiting rooms, deal with awkward face-to-face conversations, or make uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. Just visit GetRoman.com, chat with a doctor, and get genuine medication delivered in discreet, unmarked packaging. And now that brand name ED meds have gone generic, it's more affordable than ever to get treatment. Start your free online visit at GetRoman.com/medicine. That's GetRoman.com/medicine. Additional terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply. Visit GetRoman.com for more details.
Genesis Diamonds is cutting prices right now, getting ready for next weekend's spring extravaganza. It's May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, the biggest sale of the year. Extra savings up to 35% off our already guaranteed best prices on virtually everything. Rings, earrings, bracelets, pendants, colored gemstones, even GIA-certified diamonds are on sale. Everyone at Genesis knows it's okay to break the rules during this once-a-year event, so don't miss it. Best prices and special financing, too. 3 days only, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Only at Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs.
For all of your biggest achievements in life, who's the one person that's always been there unconditionally supporting you every step of the way? It's mom. This Mother's Day, show her just how much you appreciate the love with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers will give you an exclusive 36 for 36 offer. 36 sorbet roses for just $36. That's only $1 per rose. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code EXTRA. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code XTRA.
An open three on the right. It's good for Karis LeVert.
It's an NBA playoffs doubleheader featuring Game 5 of the Eastern Conference first round between Philadelphia and Brooklyn.
Tuesday night.
Coverage begins at 6:30.
On ESPN.
94.9 Game 2.
In the Game Nashville app.
Hey, this is Ryan Johansson. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, 9:14 here on a Monday. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of Preds calls to get to in a moment, so hang tight. I'll give you the line according to the experts in Vegas. Dallas is a minus 135 favorite tonight. The Predators a plus 115 underdog, so a little bit bigger of a Dallas favorite than the previous time they were playing at the American Airlines Center. I think it was like around 120. So Vegas says, yeah, slight favorite Dallas tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't look like our callers are going to be very excited either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't be a favorite.
Yeah, you're right. 615-737-1025. Let's get to the calls. I love the comments. Well, actually, I don't, but I know where we're going. Yeah. Let's go to Brenda in White House, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Brenda?
Hey, thank you. I usually call in the afternoon and talk to Jared and GM, but since I'm off today, I heard you, and I feel really good about the press. I feel good. I have a great feeling for tonight. I think they're going to take tonight and come back and take it here on our home ice, and I think we're going to go all the way.
Brenda, you do realize that if they win tonight, you can no longer call in Jared and the GM show, and you can only call our show every game that they play. Correct, right? Like, you realize that?
Well, I realize that, but I work, so I don't get a choice.
Here's what
I
you
mean,
do.
How
Brenda.
Much do you care about the Preds, Brenda?
Brenda, what's your boss's name?
Oh,
we'll just call him Lou. Brenda, you say Lou. I'm going to go call Morning Drive right now. Give me about 7 minutes. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you for the call,
Thank
Brenda.
You, Brenda.
All right, let's go.
Listen, I don't think that's too much to ask. If they win tonight, it's basically Brenda's doing.
It's true.
And that means Brenda can no longer call Jared and can only call us.
Mm-hmm.
You're not calling the other guys anymore.
Straight up us.
Let's go to Matt in the Borough next on Morning Drive. What's going on today, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, I've been a fan since 98. I watched Sergei Krivokrasov play a million times.
Wow.
So I'm not a bandwagon. And so with that being said, I think tonight Dallas wins about 6-0, and we go into the off season questioning which of the five defensemen we have to trade in order to get some depth on that second through fourth line, because something has to change.
Yeah, I agree.
And what's fascinating is, and thanks for the call, what's really tough to understand about that equation, because I tend to agree with you too, Nick, and to the caller, they have invested heavily already. Mm-hmm. In the second line, they've got, what, 5 point and some change with Mikael Granlund. They've got $6 million a year invested in Kyle Turris. They've got $4.25 million, I believe, invested in Craig Smith. I mean, there's obviously ways to upgrade those three positions, but you got to get you've invested in those guys. And it's not like those guys are going to drop down some lines. I mean, you know, Boyle and Simmons are probably not a part of the team. Rocco could really find a full spot next year, not on the second line, but a full-time spot potentially in the lineup.
Well, we saw Peter juggle the lineups and the lines on Saturday.
Yes.
Do you think he goes back to the initial games 1-4 line, or do you think he's going to have similar to Saturday?
So it'll be interesting to watch. I tweeted this out because through the first period, he had Craig Smith, Nick Bonino, and Austin Watson together on one line. He had Colton Sissons, Callie Yarncroke, and Mikael Granlund on a line. And then, of course, he had Turris with Grimaldi and Boyle on the fourth line. The Turris, Grimaldi, and Boyle line actually was pretty effective. The one that was the clear problem was Mikael Granlund, Callie Yarncroke, and Colton Sissons. And that was bizarre to see because clearly what you're trying to do when you put Mikael Granlund and Colton Sissons together is to inject Mikael Granlund with some of that Colton Sissons-like energy, and it didn't work. In fact, Yarncroke's sort of a similar player too, jack of all trades, and that line was abused the entire first period.
Mm.
So hopefully we don't see the Sissons, Yarncroke, Granlund line again, because that was not a good formula. The Turris, Grimaldi, Boyle line did do some damage, so that one I could see being put back together again, and so we'll see what he does with the other two lines. Jofa obviously remained intact and needs to be better.
7371025. We go to Steve in Nashville, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Steve?
Hey guys, really enjoy the show. I think we're going down tonight. The goals that Dallas has scored, the defense is just not there. I don't understand why they're not playing the way they are. I mean, Ellis several times is letting the player take advantage of him. He's behind. They made a feed from behind the goal, and I think it was Yarncroke with a step behind. I mean, why don't he come in and hook the guy or do something to, you know, prevent a, you know, a goal? It's just they're not playing at the intensity they need to be.
Well, I mean, if you look at it too, and if appreciate the call, Steve. If you look at like the quote tail of the tape of this series, and if you were to take first line against first line, defense against defense, goaltender against goaltender, right now the Jofa line is just getting destroyed compared to the Radulov line. Dallas's defense is superior to the Predators' defense. The only thing that's been relatively competitive is Bishop against Pekka, and it's still advantage Bishop.
Yeah, I think it's probably closer to a wash, but Bishop hasn't been pulled yet, so.
No.
I agree with you on all three of those things. And those are the three things the Preds hang their hat on, right? Like,
what category have the Predators defeated Dallas in?
Fourth line, maybe? Grimaldi?
Yeah, that's about it.
They've played five games, and Dallas has been better four times. Like, it's not, this isn't, you know.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's not overly complicated.
Yeah.
And then you take stupid penalties, and then you put yourself behind the eight ball, and then you, you know, you can't score on the power play. You put it all together, and you get beat in a series. I mean, that's how it goes.
Well, it's what I am seeing is this sort of this frustration from the Predators because they can't quite get things going because of the way that Dallas is playing defense. And you know, having Pete Weber on earlier, he said something very interesting. Predators got to be comfortable with playing a 2-1 game or 1-0 game. And it just doesn't seem as if they're comfortable playing that type of game. But in order to win the series, I think that's what they're going to have to get used to, is playing really, really good defense and being okay if you win 1-0 or go into overtime and win. Mm-hmm. And this matchup, whereas everybody looked at it at the beginning and was like, okay, when do we get Winnipeg? I can't wait to get Winnipeg. I can't wait to get St. Louis. Well, this matchup might have been the worst matchup for the Predators. This probably was the worst team they had to play in the first round. And not many people looked at it from that standpoint. They were just looking ahead of them and saying, I can't wait to get the Winnipeg to revenge or St. Louis.
But if this was St. Louis, it'd be 4-0 St. Louis.
Oh, of course.
Like, St. Louis would have boat raced them.
But I think you would have got a better, because St. Louis plays a lot different than what Dallas plays.
No, not really. They're pretty similar.
What I'm saying is St. Louis is able to score. They got scores, yeah. And now Dallas prided themselves on defense, but they are getting some scoring this series. And maybe this matchup for the Predators is not quite the matchup that favored them, even though
they won the regular season. This Preds team doesn't beat the Mighty Drunks the way they're playing defense right now.
You probably got to report.
So, I mean, it just, like,
I would love to see the Mighty Drunks play. That would be awesome.
They'd score four goals.
That'd be awesome. A bunch of drunks on ice. That'd be awesome.
737-1025, the number. Let's go to Bicycle Boy in Nashville. Bicycle Boy, how are you?
I'm well, fellas. You guys brought up an interesting point a little while ago about the coaching and the coaching staff. And, I mean, it's pretty clear that this year the – you know, special teams, especially the power play, has been pretty lame. If we go back 3, maybe 4 years, and we look at the role that special teams has played in the success, and then this year kind of in the failure, isn't it time to maybe consider making a coaching staff change? Whether we can get Phil Housley back or not, you know, probably not, but bring somebody in that might help right the ship when it comes to special teams. I'll hang up.
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't get Phil Housley back. I just actually did a quick search. I don't think he's been hired anywhere. So this team was excellent on the power play and very good on defense when he was here coaching. So if you want to draw the parallels, go for it.
What were we discussing last week? The rule. I mean, you could add Housley without subtracting anybody.
I believe there's an extra spot on the staff. I don't want to speak out of turn on that. But I am. If I am Peter Laviolette, everything's on the table. If I'm David Poile, everything's on the
of
table.
Course.
And if Lavi's looking at
line.
I mean, the coaching staff, Dan Muse is relatively young, first year. Kevin McCarthy, longtime associate with Peter Laviolette.
Been together a long time. So I will say this, and this is a general comment, not a comment about Coach Mack or Laviolette. Coaches are generally, in every sport, loyal to a fault. Coaches generally will take that extra time because they're loyal to their guy. I am not suggesting that's what should or should not happen here with Lavi. I'm just saying that that is a generalization of the coaching ranks. You see coaches in football all the time, right? This is like one of my close friends that I've trusted for years. It's really hard to fire that guy. It just is. And so, I have no idea if that's even a part of the equation. It's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just pointing out head coaches tend to be loyal to a fault. Sometimes it hurts their team.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Michael in Nashville next on Morning Drive. What's going on today, Michael?
Hey, not much. How are you guys?
Good.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Hey, just opinions on tonight's game. I think there's two key points that this is going to hinge on. First one you guys already touched on, being Ben Bishop. If he plays lights out, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think we're going to have to play one of the best of the year in order to take this to a game seven. Second one, I'm looking at a 10-minute window that I think is key. Breakdown of that first 7 minutes, how do we come out? Do we get the crowd quieted down? Do we take the game in our own hands? Out of that 7 minutes, the next minute is going to be after Dallas scores their first goal. The last 2 minutes of that 10-minute key are the last 2 minutes of the first period. Just like your guys' thoughts, I'll hang up and listen.
That's a very complicated scenario. So he's saying that the Preds are going to score and play well in the first 7 minutes, but the Dallas is then going to score, and how they react to that score is important, as well as the final 2 minutes of the first period.
Basically,
did I get
you
all that right?
Basically, that was Saturday's game, wasn't it?
No. Okay, go ahead, Josh. What did you hear?
Well, he was
then?
Saying that's what I heard. The first 7 minutes will be key.
How do they quiet the crowd, which is a goal
right.
score? Which
wasn't
means score
necessarily
a goal.
Scoring.
It's hard to quiet a crowd without putting something on the board.
Okay, fair enough. But he's saying, and what I heard was, watch the first seven. If they come out, play well,
sure.
You're going to be feeling pretty good.
Okay.
Then if Dallas were to score first, the response to that, and then the end of the first period.
So his prediction is either Dallas is up 1-0 or it's tied 1-1.
I just got a feeling.
How about you just do this? Okay. How about you go into the American Airlines Center and you stomp a mud hole in them for 60 minutes?
There we go.
Absolutely.
There's Billy Nick.
Since Dallas did that to you two straight games and outscored you 10-4, because now I feel like I'm watching the Flyers underachieve and get pushed around,
ooh.
How about you go into Dallas and you kick their butt?
Well,
I tried to keep that clean.
Yeah, and you would hope that they
took us.
Would go in there and do just that. But I think they're at a point now where they're pulling at straws now. They're trying to figure out what works or how do we defeat this team. Because Dallas is not intimidated by them. Dallas is actually doing the intimidating. They're doing the pushing around. And they just got to go in there, and like Pete said, they got to be comfortable with playing a 1-0-2-1 game.
Yep.
And deal with it from that aspect.
And it feels like that's how it's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they can go in there and go five goals on Ben Bishop.
Mm-mm.
So if they're going to give up four, it's over. It's got to have to be that muck it out, grind it out, just dirty 1-0-2-1 type of game. That's the only way they can win those games.
John in Nashville next on Morning Drive. What's up today, John?
Hey, guys. So listen, there's 3 points of emphasis here before we go home for the year that's going to make a difference. One is playing UC Soros tonight instead of Pekka. That's just my feeling.
But sis, John, can you say that again? Did you say start Soros?
I did.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
I know that, but that could be one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
The other, and that's just an opinion. Clearly, I'm not as well-versed on Predators' excellence like you guys are, but I can only say, for some reason, that Peck has given up a lot of goals around the net, even one-on-one, where our defense isn't picking up at the blue line, which was my next conversation point with you. Why aren't we knocking people down at the blue line instead of them taking running leads into the goal scoring area? And you know, third is, why don't we move Dan Hamhuis down somewhere? Because I haven't seen much from him.
Well, you can't move him down any further in the lineup. He's on the third pairing. See, we all totally agree or disagree with you on UC Soros, right? Can I speak for all of us on that?
Not because I don't want to see Soros, but if you lose with Pekka not in the net, then you're going to take a beating. You're going to take a beating from the media.
Also, Pekka's not been the problem.
So,
like, let's
But to his point, though, about the hits, the only hit I can recall was the one we saw Saturday where Zuccarello got cleaned out.
But that was almost a mistake.
And it was Dave Hamius, too.
Yeah, it was a mistake. It wasn't a hit.
But it was beautiful.
It was a big hit. But it wasn't a hit that I think that was meant to be, because he was down, and it was just one of those things that
Zuccarello was not speeding into the zone, exactly. And Hamius didn't stand him up. This was not a linebacker running back collision in the hole. Like, this was Zuccarello's kind of, you know, dinking around in the center of the ice there, and Hamius took an opportunity to blow him up, which is great because, like, he should have. He destroyed him. I think the caller is right, though, that they need to be more physical when Dallas is entering the zone. I mean, whether it's Forsberg back-checking, whether it's Watson giving up the puck, I mean, all the turnovers, you got to be more physical in your own zone. Everything needs to be better in their own zone. Everything has been terrible in their own zone. Pekka's the only thing, really, that's been solid, and even he hasn't been that great.
All right, we've had a lot of good calls this morning. One more segment to go if you want to get in. A couple of open lines have cleared up. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Keys to a win tonight in Game 6. Predictions from us coming up next. The Big Finish at 9:45 here on Morning Drive.
In 3 days, the NFL Draft is coming to Nashville. Giant event.
The NFL and the city are expecting 300,000 people.
It'll be good for the city of Nashville.
Can you imagine every bar and restaurant downtown, what they're going to make?
Really good for Amy and the Titans.
Nashville's official draft station is
like a stretch of just ridiculousness.
Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Out here, you need to control your environment, or it may control you. You need the Kubota L2501DT Compact Tractor. It comes with all the easy-to-use implements you need. Get the L2501DT for as low as $139 a month with 0% APR financing for 84 months plus a 6-year warranty. Now through June 30th, 2019. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com.
Find a Kubota dealer near you at GoKubota.com.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports. For years, we've sold BMWs, Mercedes, Audis, Porsches. Now we're real excited to be able to service and maintain those same vehicles from our new downtown Franklin facility, where we'll have sales and service. I think one of the things we enjoy most about what we do every day is being able to share the joy with folks when they take delivery of a new vehicle. We're happy to be able to share in that joy with you. So come see us at our new location, the corner of the new Highway 96 and Hillsboro Road. All of our locations are identified with maps on our website at Global Motorsports, Inc.
Here's something you probably don't know about erectile dysfunction. 52% of guys over 40 experience ED. And here's something you probably do know about erectile.
.934, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Josh Upton today in for the Constable. The Big Finish is coming up in just about 11 minutes. Preds time, prediction time.
Have we talked enough about Gavin DeGraw today?
All I said at the beginning he fell flat on his face just like the Preds.
I just don't think we've given it enough attention.
I thought it was a good performance until he slipped and went down.
Well, and he went backwards too. Like he was celebrating, kind of going backwards, and then he falls, and then he just puts his head down. There's nothing you can do in that moment, though. You just got to put your head down and just soak
it in. What are you supposed to do?
Soak it in.
If they come back for Game 7, you think we're going to see a wider rug out there for the next person?
Mm.
It is a little thin. He only took a couple steps back.
Anyone ever screwed that up before? How many people have slipped? We could have supported that, probably. I'd be curious. He can't be the only one to have ever slipped on that. Ice is slippery. I felt so bad, but it was so funny.
Breaking news. Ice is slippery. 737-1025. Let's get one more call in, then we'll make our predictions. We go to Zach in Nashville up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Zach?
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I'm a big fan of Roman Josi. I think he's probably arguably one of the best skaters the Preds have. I'm just wondering how much responsibility he has as a captain for the inconsistency the Preds have shown, especially in the playoffs. And I remember Mike Fisher was the captain. You know, it's a different story. I don't know his effect on the locker room, but I just wonder, you know, if that's an impact. Again, I think he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, very skilled, very gifted, but I think it's a fair question. And Zach, appreciate the call. I saw your call up on the screen. So here's the Roman Josi is the captain, and a couple of the assistant captains: Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, and Ryan Johansson, along with Philip Forsberg. So you've got four other guys below Roman Josi, and he alluded to Mike Fisher. I think it's a fair question because they brought Fisher back last year, not because of his age with skill and points and production, but because of leadership. So I think it's a fair question. If this team underachieves, last year you win the President's Trophy, you go out in round two. This year you take another step back, you go out in round one. We know it's not a talent thing. So as you try to put together all the X's and the O's and connect the dots and the intangibles, is it a leadership issue?
What more, I guess, what more do you want him to do? Obviously, they named him the captain for a reason, because they felt he had captain qualities.
He's also leading the team in points.
Yeah, and leading the team. And he can only say so much.
And I think people, every time you say leadership, you want that hellfire and brimstone guy. You can lead by example, and I think Yossi's one of those quiet leaders that goes out there and lets his play do his speaking.
Yeah, but the problem here is that that Jofa line hadn't held up their end of the bargain. And, you know,
Couple of assistant associate captains on that line, too.
He can say, well, I'm doing my job, but that's not leader-like to say, well, I'm doing my job and y'all need to do y'all's. Well, hell, nobody's really doing what they're supposed to do, hence they're down 3-2, and they just got a five-spot put on them two games in a row. So he can only say what he can say. He can't force other guys to play to elevate their game. He can't, you know, grab him and yoke him up and do all this other stuff. Just go out there and what you need to do as the leader is elevate your game. If you elevate your game, then everyone else around you figure will elevate theirs. Because it's not what we need to do, it's what I, as the best player and the captain, need to do. Because if I do this, then everyone else is going to follow suit. So it's like, I heard this the other day when they were doing I think it was TBS or TNT, the basketball thing. And Shaq was talking about Phil Jackson and how they were in this losing streak. And Shaq said, well, coach, what do we need to do? We need to play. And Phil said, no, you need to play better. Because if so you go, the team goes. So you, the leader, the best player, needs to play better, and everyone else will follow suit. And Shaq said he was right. I elevated my game, and everybody else followed suit. So, Josi, elevate your game, and everyone else you figure will follow suit.
And I think I think you kind of put the whole leadership group into one category here, right? And you say, Ellis, elevate your game. Jofa, elevate your game. I think you put all those leaders into that same category and say, because Josi, again, Yossi's leading the team in points. He's played fairly well, not great, but he's been good. And we have seen him at times take over games where they need a big goal, and Josi just single-handedly was skating through the offensive zone and finding a way to score. So there is an element of, dude, you're going to have to – you guys are facing elimination here. So let's also be careful on like there's still a series to be won here, right? Like there's still a game tonight. They could absolutely go into Dallas and win, and they could absolutely win Game 7 at home. That's not incredibly far-fetched. It seems difficult, it seems improbable, but it's still very much possible. If they were to lose tonight, we can start having the conversation tomorrow about what's on the table as far as change goes. And that conversation, to me, involves everything. I don't think there can be a well-run organization where everything is not under evaluation constantly. So if they lose tonight, we can have that conversation tomorrow. If they win tonight, we're going to be talking about leadership stepping up. We're going to be talking about Pecorino. Jofa probably has a big game. So let's see what happens tonight. None of us are optimistic. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
All right, prediction time. I'll lead off. I think the Predators will be trailing in the third period with a couple of minutes to go, 2-1. Peter Laviolette will empty the net in hopes of tying this game up at 2 apiece. Dallas scores an empty netter. They win tonight. They end the series in 6. Give me the Stars 3, Preds 1.
I think Nashville plays a really well-disciplined hockey game. I think they, with something they have not done a lot this series, I think they actually will play a pretty good game and lose. I think Dallas will just do what they've done all series, which is choke the life out of the neutral zone and keep the puck on the boards on defense, continue to attack with their top line and let Ben Bishop do all the work. So I think it's a well-played game by Nashville. I think they're going to bust it tonight, and I think it's 1-1 late in the game. I wouldn't be surprised at a 2-1 Dallas win in overtime.
I think they go into this game thinking, fellas, let's not go back to Nashville. We don't want to go back to Nashville, but let's continue to play the way we have been playing. And in their mind, if that is indeed the case, there's nothing the Nashville Predators can do to beat them. There's just nothing. So I think Dallas, and again, I hope I'm wrong. I do. But I think Dallas comes out and they dominate the Nashville Predators. And I'm not saying it's going to be another five spot, but it's going to be clear that Dallas is ready to get this game over with. It's going to be very clear and evident that Dallas wants to get this series over with and move on to the next series. I don't see the Predators winning this game. I think momentum is real. And right now, the real is Dallas has it.
All three of us taking the Stars to win. Translation, Preds win 5-2 because it's sports.
Yeah, sports, man.
It's the cup.
Yeah.
How are the Preds going to win tonight? Sports.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Big Finish is next here on Morning Drive.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. It is time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. We give you the Morning Drive Daily Rewind, what we learned on today's festivities, as well as what is on tap for this evening. Josh Upton has put the Rewind together with the assistance of Jared the intern, who has rebounded very astutely, I would say. Really solid bounce back effort from last week. Can he string a couple together in a row? We're about to find out. And Smashville, good morning and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive. We are off and running here on a Monday on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Josh Upton in this morning for the Constable, who has taken one last flight to Big D. Boys?
I thought you were not necessarily one last flight, just to Dallas.
To Dallas,
this will be their last flight. Okay, I just want to clarify for people out there.
This might be the last flight to Dallas. The last game we get to go to or get to watch.
Well, there'll be no more Preds games in American Airlines Arena.
Absolutely.
This spring. That regardless, much I can guarantee. Yeah.
Yes. Regardless, no matter what.
Yes. The question is, how many other hockey games are there for the Predators altogether?
Before we get angry, everybody have a good Easter?
Yeah, have a great Easter.
Yeah, like yesterday's weather. I mean,
the weather was
absolutely
wonderful.
Gorgeous. Went to church with one family, went out and had some prime rib and some Yorkshire pudding with the other family.
A little au jus.
Yeah. You got to get it before it starts to harden there with all that saturated fat and cholesterol. But no, delicious. Delicious. Girls had a great time with sets of grandparents, so all was well on Easter in my family. I don't know about you guys.
Good. Are you guys ready to get angry? We got the pleasantries out of the way.
Yeah, we got them all out of the way.
One bullet point for me just right out of the gate. Who knew that Gavin DeGraw would be a precursor for what would transpire in the game? Because on Saturday, beautiful national anthem from Mr. DeGraw falls flat on his face, goes right down on the ice. Game starts, Rocco Grimaldi gets a goal, and then the Preds fall flat on their ice. Or on their face, on the ice.
Oh, you almost did it perfectly.
On that
so thank you, Mr. DeGraw.
I drank beer in college with Gavin DeGraw one time.
How was it?
It seems like a nice guy. I was thinking,
so what would be a group
so that's all my brain's been doing. It's been trying to come up with a group that like had one really good album and then is still around.
Yeah.
Is still like mildly successful, but like not really.
They've
not,
never reached that peak again.
And of course, I went to like my high school days. So I thought of Third Eye Blind that had like one great album where it had like four big hits and like everybody loved them. But that was like 25 years ago.
That's like the Predators right now.
And they're still around. They're still touring.
Exactly.
You can still buy an album if you want. Haven't really heard much from them.
That's the Nashville Predators. It's like they've had a great two hit albums, smash albums. But then it's like, okay, and people are still grabbing those smash albums and saying, this is a great group. No, they were a great group.
Well, and Preds fans need to get back from that
and this team now is an okay team.
And that's just how it's going to be.
And
Derek, I mean, step back from that ledge, my friend.
And they know, again, they might win the series. I'm not saying they're not going to win the series. That's not what I'm saying, because they can win the next two games, win the series, and move on, and we'll be just fine. But then they have to play St. Louis.
Derek, how many Third Eye Blind quotes could we throw at you in a row until you realize that we're quoting Third Eye Blind to you?
I think that was Third Eye Blind. Was that Third Eye Blind?
Would you ever get it, though?
No, like, I
have you ever listened to a Third Eye Blind song?
No, I don't even know how the group look. Are they all blind? I don't know.
Do they have three eyes?
Yeah, they got three eyes.
They've got a semi-charm kind of life, though.
Oh, okay.
We appreciate Kevin Allen for his 5 minutes before he checked out. Phone went dark.
Yeah, we got a text message saying he might have been double booking himself. And
do you want to explore that deeper?
Been on the NHL Network Radio on the space radio.
I have no issue if we slam guests who don't give us the proper time and respect, as Brandon Marcello well knows.
I think it's because he's an Auburn beat writer that you don't like him.
Well, that's it.
I think he hung up and took another call and started doing another interview. With
like
somebody
you
else.
No,
because
he
was in mid. He was
yes.
In
he
mid
got the
word.
Beep. He got the beep and said, "Oh crap, I gotta go."
He was in mid word. Like got out of
Jared. Jared tried to call him, our intern, multiple times to no avail.
I think all the facts are clear.
Like
are
you would tape the interview with like a Barry Melrose if he says, "Hey, this is the only time I can do it." Okay, yeah, we'll tape it in advance. But you don't tape an interview with Kevin Allen.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Kevin Allen,
I think what.
But we could do a little
reporting that.
Power rankings of Allens. I've got Tim Allen. I've got Paul Allen. I've got Ray Allen.
The Titans could draft Zach Allen, who is a defensive end out of Boston
I think
College.
Paul Allen.
I've got Jonathan Allen, former Alabama defensive end.
Yeah, you're right.
Keep an eye on Zach Allen.
Where exactly does Kevin Allen fall?
Give me Paul Allen.
Earth Day, fellas. What are you guys doing today to protect our planet?
To answer the question, I will not throw my banana out the window on 24 today, the banana peel.
Well, you the can. Banana peel will compost.
Yeah,
it's
you
fine.
Can do that.
But I feel guilty doing that.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Well, unless it lands on a windshield. That's
yeah,
bad.
Then that's bad.
You playing Mario Kart down 24? Here you go, Preds fans and you guys. William James once said, pessimism leads to... Shoot, I forgot a word. Here we go.
Go home if you're using styrofoam.
And that'll do it for the rewind.
Shoot, I forgot a word.
I like it, Josh.
Oh, man, guys, I forgot a word.
I love Josh Upton. I swear to God, I love the guy. All right, let's get to what we learned today.
Now, what we learned today.
So I learned today that if you double book yourself as a guest, you at times, in specific situations, will bail on first said guest for second guest, if second guest might have a bigger platform, which I think is completely disrespectful.
Perceived bigger platform.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
What I've learned today is we missed an opportunity that we screwed up.
Hmm.
Today is actually the only day on the show that we can use the phrase must win situation. Tonight is the actual only first time of the entire Pred season that you have a must-win game. Because if you do not win tonight, your season is over. So tonight, you must win. But that's the only time you can use must-win.
Mm. Well, what I've just learned is that I didn't know that we can only use must-wins when it's an elimination game. I thought must-wins is like...
Yeah, but it's not technically a must-win.
What, tonight?
Tonight is.
Yeah, tonight
is.
You
go home.
I thought Friday, to me, what was it?
Saturday
was a must-win.
No, they didn't get eliminated.
Yeah.
By definition, it was not a win they had to have.
But I thought after getting a 5 spot put on them,
it
was a must-win.
I think the Titans...
I think must-win is overused cliche, and we didn't do it.
Yeah. Week one, Tennessee Titans at Cleveland, I think it's a must-win.
Yeah.
You got to have that game.
Even though they got 15 more after that.
even though literally nothing happens.
If they don't beat Baker Mayfield, the season's over.
Oh, if they don't beat Baker Mayfield,
see how overused it is?
Then the Cleveland Browns, not the Cavaliers, excuse me.
Or the Cavs.
Yeah, or the Cavs. The Cleveland Browns going to the Super Bowl if they beat the Titans. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to the Super Bowl.
Must win. Must win. Tonight's a must win.
What I found out, too, is that we need to get rid of the styrofoam. So if you're using the styrofoam, then go home.
Joshua, let's get to On Tap tonight.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight.
now on Morning Drive.
All right, you got a pair of elimination games in the NHL tonight. I'll actually give you the game before the Predators comes on. 6 o'clock tonight. If shots on goal are not your thing, well, then you're in luck because NBC Sports Network will not show it. Washington, Carolina, the Hurricanes trail at home 3-2 as Ovechkin and the boys look to finish off Carolina. That is at 6 o'clock on NBC Sports Network.
So you get an hour and a half of build up there.
Correct.
To the Preds game. All Preds all the time. Have not watched Game of Thrones yet.
Last night. Me either.
We're like the only two people on the planet that watch Game of Thrones and have not watched Game of Thrones last night.
So I'm going to watch it today.
Yeah, no spoilers, please. I'm not checking Twitter. But 7:30 locked in.
Preds must tonight. Game of Thrones and then Our Planet. Watch some more of Our Planet. People, right. If y'all hadn't seen that, y'all need to watch it. And global warming is real. It is definitely real.
Hence the styrofoam needs to go.
Once again, predictions. Again, I've got the Preds losing 3-1. It'll be 2-1 empty net goal for Dallas. They win 3-1.
2-1 in overtime. Dallas wins, but I think Predators play well.
It's not going in overtime. 3-2 Pred. I mean, 3-2 Dallas. Pred score a late goal in the third, but go empty net and still don't tie the game up. 3-2 Stars.
That's going to do it for a Monday. We will come back and talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Will we have a Game 7, or is it time to schedule tee times? Well, for me, it's always time to schedule a tee time. I'm going to go do one right now. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Monday.
Bailey, DJ Nashville. I love you.